At the moment, I've got a bit of a freedom to explore various topics and anger. Great movie. Anyone seen it? Anger is something that's close to my heart because, for me, anger is something I struggle with. It's like when you think of the things in life that you'd like to address and change, for me, anger is one of those big rocks. And I think, you know, if I could better express my anger or better control my anger or better learn from my anger, I'd be a much better person, a much better father, a much better husband, much closer to who Christ wants me to be. And as I was thinking about this, I noticed in the papers this week, did anyone see the story about Malachi Fikatoa? This week, he came out in the he posted on Instagram about his anger. He posted this: "I've got a huge problem with anger. I don't handle some situations very well on and off the field. I get really angry sometimes and flip out, so I'd like to apologize publicly to any of you I've ever said something really hurtful to. At home, on the field, and through social media, I'm ashamed and regretful. Lesson learnt. I suggest that no matter how old you are or who you are, whatever it is, you need to speak to someone about it, your feelings, and what's inside you. It's never bad until it will cost you." So it's interesting that this public figure, this guy who's hailed as a hero, this great All Black, he makes a public statement like that, admitting that he's a guy who really struggles with his anger. Making a public apology, he's trying to work on his issues. He's trying to become a better man. And that one of the processes that he's doing is publicly admitting he's got a problem. He's got a problem with his anger. And I think all of us, at some level, have a degree of anger in us. I know for some of us as parents, anger is something we struggle with. Our kids don't always do what we want them to do, believe it or not. And sometimes that provokes an angry response. We use angry words, or we express ourselves in ways that aren't good. Maybe you're driving down the road and it's bad traffic and someone cuts you off. The response is anger. You honk the horn, you wave your fist, whatever it is. There are things in all of our lives that spark this really negative reaction. We all express this negative feeling in inappropriate ways. But the fact is that all of us have an anger potential for anger. If you look right back to the very beginning of Scripture, straight after the fall, right the way back to Cain and Abel, we see this: anger in effect. So Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, and Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. So going back right to the very, very start of humanity, straight after the fall practically, anger is there. Anger is expressing itself in very negative ways. When God confronts Abel with his, confronts Cain with his sin, you're angry. Your anger is not right. You need to do the right thing. You need to make a good response. But right back even then, Cain, struggling with his anger, didn't make a positive response. He didn't make a right choice. He expressed his anger by killing his brother. So right back to the very beginning of human existence, anger is something that all of us have struggled with. While I was doing some research and reading around the area of anger, I found out that in Christian counseling, when people are coming for counseling to talk about their struggles and their issues, over 50% of people who go to counseling, anger is one of the main presenting issues that they come for help with. So if you're someone who gets angry, someone who struggles with your anger, you're not alone. The majority of people do struggle with anger of some kind. It doesn't make us bad Christians, it makes us human to struggle with anger. Now anger is caused by all sorts of things. I'm not sure what in your life is what triggers anger. For me, I know that my anger is triggered by a few things. Have you ever seen the film About a Boy? with Hugh Jackman, he's that real weird kid that looks after. Well, in that movie, Hugh Grant sees himself as an island. He says, "I'm an island." And I kind of live my life a similar way. I kind of feel like an island. And when people try to come onto my island and bring their mess onto my island, I kind of get angry at that. Because I have a nice little peaceful south world. And when people come and mess up with that, I get angry. When the kids come and crash my little party island, I get frustrated. That's one of the things I struggle with. Or if I don't feel like I'm getting respected, if I don't have the respect I feel I deserve, I sometimes get angry. Why aren't you listening to me? What I say is important. What I say is true. You should respect me. So I react sometimes in angry ways if I don't feel like I'm getting the respect or the space I require. But there's other things that you may find trigger your anger. Maybe it's being inconsiderate. Maybe it's injustice. So there are things that trigger each of our angers. Often, human anger is an expression of unfulfilled desires, whether that be a lust that you have, or a covetousness, or a hatred, or resentment, or bitterness, or desire. Often, our anger is an expression of unfulfillment in various ways. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like I can be perfectly fine, and then something happens, and the next minute I'm full on rage mode. So often, there's small things that trigger off massive overreactions. Because there's something deep within our hearts that's not right. And it keeps on poking at that sore spot, and all of a sudden we're reacting in very dramatic ways. And there's a lot of evidence that anger is really, really bad for us if it's not expressed in the right way, or it's not having the right right focus and resolutions. You know, anger has a range of physical, mental, and social problems. Chronic anger has been linked with heart disease, stroke, cancer, cold and flus, in general, poor health. It also increases risk-taking, poor decision-making, and substance abuse. When anger is an issue in our life, and it's not being expressed correctly, and it's getting control over us and having dominion over us, it has massive negative impacts on our lives. Maybe you even see that in your own personal situation. Maybe you see your anger having an effect on your marriage, or having an effect on your relationship with your children, or having an effect at work with your colleagues, or at school with your friends? Is your anger causing breakdown in the society that we've been called to live in? We've all been called to live in community and relationship, but anger can tear down that community. Anger can tear down those relationships. This passage that we're looking at today in James touches on this whole idea of anger. Verses 19 and 20 say this: "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." So I want us to explore a bit more this morning this whole concept of anger, of being quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, because it doesn't lead to the righteous life that God desires in us and for us. And it's a very difficult passage. I'm not going to lie to you, this is going to be an issue that's going to be very difficult to get on top of. Because while it's easier to think, okay, I'll be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry, these decision points where you're going to be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger come in those times where there is so much intense emotion, obviously, and you're having a quick reaction and there's so much instinct involved in getting riled up. So in this intense moment of provocation or stress, how are you going to be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger? It seems easy in theory, but in the working out of life, it's very hard to have that sort of control. It's very hard to be quick to listen and slow to speak when you feel offended or feel injustice has been done or they've pushed your button in just the right way to set you off. So this is going to be a challenging thing. But I believe that through the power of God, through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we can come closer to the place where we can control anger, where anger can become an asset to us and not a liability. So the reason that this is important to us is in that verse 20 where it says, human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. The anger that we so often express, our frustration, our venting, our rage, whatever it may be, isn't leading us down the path that God desires for our life. God has put a call upon our life to be like Christ. And when we express our anger in negative, hurtful ways, we are not becoming more like Christ. God has called us in our life to be holy as He is holy. And so often the anger that we have and the anger that we express is not the anger that God has. It's not the anger that God displays. So we need to take this anger that we have as humans, as flawed people, and we need to have that redeemed and sanctified and purified so we can have anger without becoming angry. Because anger is something that is of God. God has given us the capacity for anger because He, at times, feels anger. So anger in itself is not a terrible thing. Anger is something that God's put in us for positive purposes. But so often, our expression of that anger is harmful and has such negative effects. God has called us into this world to create order, to create beauty, to spread abundance into the world. And yet our anger often causes chaos and harm and brokenness. So we need to look at ourselves and say, how can God work in us so that our anger leads to beauty and order instead of brokenness and chaos? So as I said, it's really important for us to remember that anger itself, that negative, that feeling, is not necessarily bad in itself. God has given us the capacity for anger because that is a reflection of His character. I want to remind you of Jesus Himself when He got particularly angry. In John 2 it says, when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts He found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So He made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves He said, get these out of here! Stop turning my Father's house into a market! As the disciples remembered that it is written, zeal for your house will consume me. So in that situation there, when Jesus walked into the temple and saw the house of God, the house of His Father, being used in such a blasphemous way, what was His reaction? There was anger in that moment. There was injustice being done. There was blasphemy being done. And He reacted strongly, making a cord of whips and chasing people out and flipping over tables. That is an expression of His righteous anger. There was injustice being done. There was blasphemy being done. And Jesus acted with a response driven by His anger at that sin. Throughout the Bible, we see God's judgment on sin. He reacts strongly against sin. His anger creates a response. But the thing with God, His right anger is righteous. It's often called a righteous indignation against injustice, against sin, against idolatry. God has a capacity to feel anger but not sin. And that is where we must strive to get to with the power of the Holy Spirit, to a place like Ephesians 4 says, in your anger, do not sin. That passage doesn't say, do not get angry because it is sin. It says, in your anger, that's okay, do not sin. And that's where we struggle. We have anger, but we sin so often. So why is anger a good thing? Why is anger something that is actually part of God's design for us? Because anger is channeled correctly. If anger is felt and expressed in positive ways, it can have a massive positive impact on our life. Anger is a very powerful motivating force. If we see something that is wrong and we feel a response of anger, it motivates us and it energizes us to act to correct what is wrong. There's a guy who won a Nobel Peace Prize. Let's grab his name. His name is Kailash Satyarthi. And he was an Indian guy. and he won a Nobel Peace Prize for his work in India and kind of break down the caste system. So in India, there's a caste system. We have different strata of society, and people are more worthy or less worthy in society. And your whole life is kind of dictated by your social status. And he spent his life, he saw the injustice of there being people in society who were considered untouchable and so unclean and so unworthy, they had no part in society. He saw the injustice in that, and because he got angry about this injustice and this inequality in society, he started working towards breaking down that unjust system. His anger at what he saw around him didn't lead him to lash out with violence, didn't lead him to get fired up. He was motivated to make positive change in that situation. His anger was a motivating force towards achieving a positive end. So when we get angry, we need to figure out what that anger is leading us is about. Are we getting angry about a problem in society that we need to address? Are we getting angry about a problem in our family that needs to be addressed? Are we getting insight into a problem in ourselves we need to address? Because often, when we get angry, it's not because everyone out there has a problem. Often, our anger is because something in here is a problem. Something in our heart is wrong. And anger, that feeling, says something is not right here. Find out what it is and address it. Sometimes they're external, like those society problems. We see family violence, domestic violence. We want to fix that. We see drug abuse. We want to fix that. These things aren't right. Let's get motivated to fix these issues out in society. But often, in our own hearts, I feel angry. What is going on? Oh, it's because I'm being selfish. It's because I'm not being considerate. It's not because I'm putting other people before myself. Often, that anger gives us insight into our own souls. If we take the moment for self-examination to hold ourselves up against the Word of God and see where I failed. Anger often directs the issues out there. I'm going to attack that out there because that's making me angry, instead of saying, hold on, why is it that I'm angry? What is this anger that I'm feeling motivated by? Because you may find out that there may be problems out there, but often the reason why we're the most angry is because of what's in here. Inside our hearts and inside our minds. The anger can be a positive thing. It can give us insight. It can produce good fruit from us. But as I said, most of us are at this point where we don't have full control over our anger. We don't have full control over those impulses and feelings that we have. Our anger normally leads to us getting angry and us expressing ourselves in negative and hurtful ways. Anger can be destructive when we express it on the spur of the moment. And that's why the passage today says, in James 1, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. If we are going to get control over our negative emotional reaction, the expression of our anger, we need to, by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, start to choose better paths for our anger. It says, listen, don't react, don't get angry. I know sometimes when you're having conversations and they get a bit intense. Someone says something and you fire back. You want to defend yourself. You want to win the point. You want to make sure you're heard. But when you listen, when you take the time to let a person fully express their ideas, to fully express how they feel, and you just sit back and listen, it can be really, really productive. Because with listening becomes comprehension, and comprehension can lead to understanding, and understanding can bring peace to the situation. When you fully understand a person's heart, when you fully understand where a person is coming from, when you fully understand a person's struggle, you can better process the appropriate response. If you are quick to speak instead of being quick to listen, you'll often speak out of turn. You'll speak without the full story. You'll speak without full understanding. You won't take the time to understand where the other person's coming from. To ask yourself, what's this person actually trying to say? What's this person actually trying to communicate to me? And what is the appropriate response to that situation? And even if you do sit and listen to somebody, and what they do say does anger you, does upset you, does provoke you, it still encourages us to be slow to speak back to that and be slow to be angry about that. It tells us to be patient in that moment. They've said something, you're feeling anger build up about that. In that moment, by the grace of God, he's going to enable us, and he does enable us, to ask the questions, what am I angry about? What is the correct response to this? And how do I bring order and beauty out of the situation? So if your kids are annoying you, you could turn around and say, shut up, kids! Be quiet! Leave me alone! Well, I'm sure none of us here have ever done. It is something you could do. But if you take the moment to be quick to listen, okay, what exactly is the complaint that my child has? What is causing their negative behavior? And you consider, what do I do to alleviate that negative behavior? Is there a requirement to calmly and lovingly punish a negative behavior to produce a fruit of righteousness? Is there something I need to do about myself to better pay attention to my child so they don't feel neglected or they have their needs they actually do have met? So in that moment where there's a temptation to speak quickly and to show your anger, if we are slow to anger and slow to speak, we can actually listen and understand and comprehend what's going on. And then they use that anger, that negative emotion that's been stirred up to lead to a positive outcome. Whether that be changing our own behavior to be more available to our children, or changing our own behavior to discipline in a more productive way. Because our anger can be used to lead down a righteous path if it is harnessed and expressed in a really positive, God-honoring way. Because God's desire for us is to live out a life of righteousness. He wants us to bring a world of order and beauty. He wants us to be like him. So we need to listen to God. We need to listen to others. And then we need to process that and express ourselves in a way that is going to build people up and build ourselves up and not tear things down and break things. So these acts of righteousness in the moments of anger can take various forms. It may be changing ourselves because our anger is more about our sin than the sin of those around us. It may be in taking constructive changes in your life or in the world around you to make it a better world. Sometimes that anger, the correct response to your anger, is just handing over that situation to God. Because sometimes you cannot affect a change in yourself. Sometimes you cannot affect a change in the world around you. And you just need to accept the fact that God is in control and that God is going to work it out. So these are the various ways that we can express a righteous anger. By changing ourselves, by acting to change the world around us, or just accepting that God is in control and that he'll resolve that issue in its own good time. When we come to a point we're expressing our righteous anger, you'll often find that we can express our righteous anger in gentle ways. Because we're doing it from a point of peace. We're doing it from a point of productivity, a point of building something up rather than tearing it down. Because that negative expression of being angry just rips and destroys and smashes. But a righteous anger is wanting to build up and shape and nurture and push things gently in the right direction. There's various ways that we can handle our anger biblically. Sometimes that looks like returning good for evil. If someone does something negative against us, we turn it around and we give love back. We don't give evil for evil. We don't give anger for anger. We trade anger for love. We trade negativity for positivity. We trade chaos for order and ugliness for beauty. just going to read Matthew chapter 5 briefly. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? And not even the tax collectors doing that. If you greet only your people, own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. For us to be perfect like God is returning good for evil, is loving on those who hate us, is taking that negativity and turning it around into positivity. We can change our feelings towards other people by choosing to act in a different way towards them. When we express ourselves in such negative ways towards our friends and family and colleagues and random people on the street, we're breeding a negative feeling towards them. But if we choose to turn to them in love, we're producing a righteous feeling that will be honoring to God. There's one more scripture that I want us to quickly look at. And it's from Ephesians chapter 4. And from this passage, we can glean some information about how we are to deal with negative feelings and these difficult situations that prompt anger. Ephesians 4, verse 15 says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. So to become mature in Christ means speaking the truth in love. So in those angry moments where we're tempted to get really frustrated and lash out or rage, the key to becoming more like Christ in those moments is learning to speak the truth in love. Because sometimes you can speak the truth in a really angry way that doesn't lead to a positive result. Well, if we speak gently with love, that truth can actually bring enlightenment to another person, can bring enlightenment to ourselves, can really build and unite instead of having things torn down. Verses 25 to 32 says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every kind of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So these scripture here in Ephesians 4 tell us the kind of ways we need to express our anger to have positive outcomes. We need to be honest and speak the truth with love, because if we are feeling anger, sometimes it's because we don't feel the person's understood us. And if we don't tell them how we feel, if we don't tell them what we're struggling with in that moment, they will never understand how to better communicate with us. And they will never understand how we feel about them. So in those moments, it's important for us to speak up and not shut down. If you shut down and hold it all inside you, it's just going to stew and get bitter and get twisted and get nasty. But if we open up and let that stuff out into the world, into the light will sanctify it and sterilize it. And it can be talked about in loving and gentle ways to bring growth. The passage also talks about not letting the sun go down while you're angry. This is kind of speaking to the problem of needing to stay current, trying to express ourselves in this moment, to not let the anger, the angry bitterness build up over time. It doesn't mean that every issue is going to be resolved completely on any moment. Some of our struggles in relationship and around us, we can't solve overnight. We can't solve the problem of poverty outside these doors today. today. We can't solve the problem of violence outside these doors today. We can't solve the problems of inequality outside us today. But we can come to the point where we are not feeling angry and bitter about it. Then we can put that in the God basket to say, this is something I want to spend time in my life addressing and countering and fixing and bringing Christ's light into. We can make positive decisions to express ourselves in the future about that area. But if we stay angry and bitter and carry that with us, it's going to have a really profound negative impacts in the long term. If you're having a fight with your wife or your kids, this doesn't mean that you have to stay up to 2 a.m. just hashing things out and threshing things out until it's resolved, because some issues in our marriages or our families are too big to be solved in 2-hour blocks. But it's making the decision that that item is important enough that you're going to continue working in positive ways to resolve over time. And coming to a point where you can say, this is still an issue that both of us need to work on and address in our own lives to bring resolution to. But we're going to bring order and beauty out of this and not let this particular issue cause ugliness in our family and in our relationship. So it needs to be, we're going to keep working on this going forward instead of looking back and recounting all the horrible things that have happened to that point. Verse 29, when it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, tells us that we need to attack the problem and not the person. When we are communicating at that point of anger, our desire is that we're going to make something beneficial out of that situation. We want to express ourselves in ways that are going to build the other person up, to support them and help them. And that's not always going to look like telling them that they're useless or lazy or inconsiderate. Sometimes that's going to be saying things about what you feel, about the way they express themselves rather than who they are as a person. Sometimes we generalize people as one thing being who they are. You're lazy, you're useless, you're forgetful, you're unkind, you're... And this, you're telling them that their whole character is that one thing. But sometimes I feel like you can be quite lazy. Sometimes I feel like you don't think about me when you forget to do these things. If you attack the behaviors and not the person, or address the behaviors and not the person themselves, there was less need for the person to be defensive and try to reestablish their good name. Because most people know their flaws. Most people know that they struggle with various things. But they don't want to be painted as that thing. They don't want to be stereotyped as just one failure. If we focus on the problem, not the person, we must be calm and gentle and slowly work with that person towards a positive outcome. And it's important that we act and we don't react as well. It comes back to the whole idea of being quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger. When we feel anger, we don't want to react to that anger, because that reaction is so often negative. It's so often expresses itself in an unhelpful way. We want to act, make a positive decision to make a positive action in that moment. Okay, I have assessed the situation. I have listened to the situation. I haven't reacted to it. I haven't let all those negative impulses that stirred up express themselves. And now I'm going to make a positive choice about how to bring God's truth and God's righteousness and order and beauty back into the world with my next action. And this is the point where we're trying to get to, where I need to get to in my own life. I need to get to the point in my life where when the kids irritate me or something happens at work or someone cuts me off on my scooter on the road, whatever it is, that I make a choice in that moment to act in a way that leads to a path of righteousness. To make a decision in that moment to act and not react. Anger is something that God has given us. It's something God has given us that can lead to real positive change in the world and in ourselves. But our challenge is to use the power God has given us by His Holy Spirit to express that in ways that lead down paths of righteousness. To put off our sinful reactions and put on godly actions. For us to do that, we're going to need to understand ourselves. And I encourage you, this week, if and when you feel angry, take some time to meditate on that, to think about that, to sit down and say, why was my reaction in that situation so strong? Why did I choose to act in that particular way at that time? And is that the right thing for me to do? Well, I do believe that God has given us the capacity because of the way he's renewing and sanctifying us because of the blood of Jesus. I believe that each of us have the potential to have anger that leads to righteousness. And I believe that God is calling each of us to have anger that leads to righteousness. And yet so many of us are falling short, myself included. The world has its problems. Our relationships have their problems. We're going to be struggling with this world of sin until Christ returns. But I believe that if we express our anger in righteous ways, we can make a real positive influence on this world and on the people around us and in ourselves. Let me pray. Lord, we give you thanks for the gift that a righteous anger is to this world, Lord. It calls for justice, it calls for beauty, it calls for order, it calls for growth and renewal. And yet, Lord, we confess with our hearts that so often the anger that you've given us is expressed in hurtful and harmful ways, Lord. We pray for your forgiveness over that. We pray for your renewal in these areas. We pray, Lord, that you'd give us insight into our contrite hearts that struggle against the new nature you've given us and want us to go back to that negative space, Lord. We pray that as we conduct ourselves this week, Lord, that you would power us by your Holy Spirit to act and not react. That you would give us insight in how to build people up and not tear them down. To bring beauty instead of chaos. Lord, we just ask that you would make us more like you. We give you thanks that you've given us your blood and your spirit to make that possible. And we ask that you would truly transform us from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Jonathan.